Thank God. God is good and His mercy endures forever. He is the Lord. There is a heaven and He's on the throne right now. Amen. You believe that?
Yes.
Say, well, I can't see it. That's where a lot of people miss it. Well, prove it to me. Can't prove it to you. I'll prove it to you by His Word. Well, show me. Why doesn't God just show Himself? That's foolish talk. He's real, and everybody's going to find out. The Bible says every knee will bow. Every knee is going to bow to the name of Jesus. And we're walking through this earth, and to walk by faith is such a high thing. God, I don't want to say demands, but if you're going to come to God, let's just turn over to Hebrews. We're going to turn over to Hebrews anyway. Go to Hebrews 12. And on the way there, Hebrews 11, right before it, let's stop there. Hebrews 11, 6. Hebrews 11, 6. That's why we bring your Bible. This scripture isn't on the sheet. Y'all there?
Yep.
Hebrews 11, 6. You don't have a Bible, look on your neighbor. I guess everybody has a Bible because we asked if anybody needed one. Without faith, it is what? It's impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Well, I want Him to prove it to me that He exists. That's not how it works. What does it say? It is impossible, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is. He who comes to God must be proven that God is. Is that what it says? Uh-uh. Then say, God's going to prove Himself. God already has proven Himself. If He did anything more, He would have to manifest Himself in plain sight, because you just have to look around in the world. It's clear that there's a God, but you have to come to God believing that He is, and that takes faith. And faith has been undermined in today's society. The way people approach a lot of things is, you show it to me, you prove it to me, let's see the data. And I'm a software engineer, and I know a few things about this stuff, about data, and about running tests and proving things, but you don't approach God like that. We don't approach Him saying, you prove it to me. That is so arrogant. People do not understand who they're talking to. You think about a 3-year-old, barely even, I'd say 4-year-old, maybe 5-year-old you could get there. You know, 5-year-old coming up to somebody that's lived on there 70, 80, 90 years and say, will you prove it to me? Show me. And he'd be like, dude, you don't even know what you're talking about. If some little person has that attitude, that's something seriously wrong. They don't understand respect. But then we, who've been on the earth just a little bit, 5 to 80 doesn't even begin to compare with how little we've been around compared to God. And people are like, well, God doesn't exist. Where's it? You know, where's the big guy in the sky? I mean, you see just people that are completely ignorant making these comments. So foolish. Well, these people that believe there's some magic man in the sky. That's foolish. Those people are going to see the magic man in the sky someday, and they're going to bow to God. They're going to bow to Him, and He's so just and so kind. He puts up with that kind of stuff. Jesus, they spat on Him. Mocked Him, put a crown of thorns on Him and said, prophesy, hit Him, say, if you're so smart, basically, tell us who hit you, you king, They're mocking the king of the universe. And Jesus could have obliterated them, and he didn't. He didn't. And when he was dying on the cross, he said, "Forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing." God is so kind, and he's so forbearing right now, because we're in a period of grace on this earth. But there's going to be judgment. And there is judgment even in this time. If people push, look at Ananias and Sapphira. That's in the New Testament. You cannot just mess with the holy things of God and go without. God is there. There are certain things. You cross certain lines, there's judgment. But by and large, and in general, people are under grace right now. But we live in a society that completely undermines faith. It's undermined all faith. They put all faith in one bucket and shakes it up and said, "Well, everybody, you know, have to believe something. And this religion is like this. And, well, this religion's like this. And see, this religion, that's just the same thing as over here in Christianity. It's just, you know, somebody just, it's just all people have the same themes throughout." And so faith has been undermined in our society. You believing something, even though you can't see it, is mocked. Is it not? You're like an ignorant person that just doesn't know. You're holding on to things that are archaic if you believe something. You can't see it. Why do you believe a God? Has he shown himself to you? That's the mentality. And it's actually completely opposite. In that mentality, you're a fool if you believe something without seeing it. But what does God say? He said, the Bible says, he that comes to God must believe that he is. It doesn't say you have to see him first. It says you come to him. If you're going to come to God, you need to believe that he is first. That he is the God of all creation. And there is a God in heaven. And he sent his son Jesus to die for us so that we could be in his family. And you know, that's mocked. I was just looking at something the other day, and there was on one of the message or the comment parts, and just mocking how, well, you know, this is about receiving JC, and they abbreviate his name and whatever, and these people that believe that, and just going on, just not understanding. And I just was like, you have no clue what you just wrote there. Flippantly said, it was lumping it in with other religions, saying, well, these people believe some one thing, but, you know, then these got the other people, you know, no, I haven't received JC and, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit, and I don't believe all that nonsense, and went right on. And I'm like, you have no clue what you just mocked right there. It just puts it all together. It doesn't say, well, it needs to be proven to you. Faith is undermined. And so you got to push through all that nonsense. You got to push through it and stand up and know that believing is a high, how should I say it? Believing is a higher form of relating than having evidence to know something. And the king of the universe right here, it says, I don't have that in my sheet, I got to look at my Bible, but it says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So if you don't have faith and you operate in the realm of show me, you are not pleasing God. A person, I should say, is not pleasing the Lord. And in our society, that's made to be the higher form of behavior, when in fact, the one that set the whole thing up, the Creator, said, faith is the highest thing. You don't believe, you don't please the Creator. And yet it's twisted in our society. It's actually mocked to do the thing that is actually the one thing that's accepted by the Creator. The thing that is elevated in this society is head knowledge, and so-called evidence, which, by the way, you got to be real careful what people say is evidence, is not necessarily scientific evidence. You can make anything say anything with the right data manipulation. But that's exalted above simply believing. And the person that may not know, and may not have certain so-called head knowledge, but believes God is actually at a higher level in the way God set it up and is operating closer to what pleases God than the person that may have a lot of head knowledge but won't believe. Are you following me? And in our, we have to understand, in our society, it is flipped. And there's a pressure that you need to see everything, or why would you believe it? And that will take you away from the Lord. Now, I'm not saying turn your brain off. I'm not saying walk without any knowledge. But what I'm saying is the things that when we come to God, we have to understand that the core of how you actually relate to God has been undermined. And we can't let that way of thinking influence us as Christians, because it will take you away from the path that God would have for you. Because you know what? If you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to walk by faith. You have to come to God by faith. You have to believe that He is. The Bible says here, you have to believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And if you're going to walk on His path for your life, you are going to need to walk by faith. There's going to be steps of faith. Each step will be a step of faith. If you ever think you're going to get to the place where you just walk it and you know everything ahead of time and you can just walk it by sight, you're not walking by faith. Like I said, he demands faith if you're going to interact with Him. Let's look over at Hebrews 12, this next chapter. So this whole chapter is talking about those that walked on this earth by faith. You know, verse 7 says Noah. Just go back there, just real quick, before we go to Hebrews 12, because this is the context of what we're saying in Hebrews 12. This is what he's referring to right here. He starts out saying, by faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to please Him without faith. And then he goes on to talk about all these individuals who walked by faith on the earth. People call this the Faith Hall of Fame. Well, if we were to, this was written some time ago, we could add people to this list that have walked in it, walked in faith. While they ran their race here on the earth, they walked by faith. Verse 7 says, Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, moved with godly fear. What does that mean? He moved with honor and respect, and he acted, listened to God because he revered God. That mean he ran away in terror. That doesn't mean godly fear. Means he honored God. He listened to Him. Prepared an ark for the saving of His household, by which He condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. He, Noah, walked by faith when there was no evidence of what God was telling him to do. You know, if this were today, people would be like, what are you talking about? This is not in the weather forecast. There's no evidence. Why are you doing this? And the whole world, literally the whole world at this point, didn't regard God except Noah and his family. You talk about resistance. You think you're going through resistance? You think we're going through resistance on this earth? Yeah, there's some people that don't believe God. There's a whole lot of people that still do. Some of them, we're here right now. If Noah, in his time, he looked around, his family is it. The rest of them, they don't believe God. They're wicked. You know, there's somebody say recently, you think people talk about how bad it gets on the earth, how bad the times are. We have not seen what bad is. The whole world was against God, except for Noah. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah, that was a pretty bad place. Got wiped out. There's really bad things that can happen. But anyway, Noah believed God. And then it goes through the different ones. Abraham and Sarah. Jacob, Joseph, Moses. Talks about the different ones that believed God and ran their race in faith. And that's why they're in here. That's why we read about the accounts of them in different places. The Bible says the Old Testament written down was for our example. So you can watch how they ran their race and learn something. And they ran in faith. They ran according to what God was telling them to do, and they ran listening to Him, believing Him. And that's what we're called to do now, even in 2017. We're called to live by faith. Just because we're more technologically advanced doesn't give us an excuse and doesn't mean the world's changed and faith has departed. That's not true. Well, that's old. I mean, that's you know, past generations were ignorant and so they believed these tales. Not true. God operates and demands faith today just as He always has. You don't think He knows about the technology and knows what kind of conditions we're living in? That doesn't change the way He operates. The Bible says He never changes. He never changes. So today He's the same as when they had ox carts and were riding around on donkeys. But God was the same. He still demanded by faith. See, none of people confuse all this stuff and think we're so advanced. I'm telling you what, if we're walking by sight, We're not advanced. We've gone backwards. Because in the scheme of the universe, the walking by faith is the highway. That's walking by something besides your senses, besides what you can see and hear, feel, taste, touch. That's actually a high. When you walk and operate according to God's word and according to the way His Spirit is leading you, even when you have contradictory circumstances, you're operating at a higher level than somebody that always says, show me the evidence, show me this. Now, I'm not saying that you don't need to see those things in certain contexts at certain times, okay? You know, if you buy a house, good thing to get a home inspection done. Show me the report. Well, no, everything's fine. Okay, show me the report. I want somebody to check it out. I'm not saying you're trying to deceive me, but let's just verify, right? President Reagan said, trust and verify. That's not a bad thing. It's not that you just always go blindly. We're talking about trusting God. That's different than trusting all people, right? We're not talking about walking around blindly and just trusting everybody, everything everybody says. That would be foolish to do that. We're talking about trust and faith in God. That doesn't mean you don't do without data and everything. It means if God says something, you don't need to see the data on it. And if God said something and somebody says, well, the data says this, so God's wrong, guess who's wrong? Something's wrong. The data's wrong. The presentation of the data is wrong. The whole thing is fabricated. Whatever, you don't start creating your beliefs based on what people say they find. You don't change what God's Word says based on what the latest findings are. That's a recipe for disaster. Well, we know better now. Oh, we do. No, we are called to operate just in this realm, like what we're talking about, just the way they operated here. So let's go down to Hebrews 12:1. So you have all these people. I wanted to spend some more time. We talked about on New Year's Day, you just had a very short time, and just it was like there was so much there. Barely, just to contain and get through just a few minutes, there was just so much. I mean, I could have just spoken for a long time. So much coming up, and I wanted to spend at least a little more time on what we were talking about last time. But this all goes right with it. Everything that we've said just kind of gives you the context for what he's saying in Hebrews 12:1. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. What's the great cloud of witnesses? The people we just talked about. The people that ran their race in faith. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now let's look at it on your sheet in the New Living Translation. I like the way it brings out a few things here. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. Notice that. We have a huge crowd of witnesses to what? To the life of faith. You know there's a life of faith. You know there's a life of walking by sight and only what you can see, and everybody's got to prove it to you, and I'm just not going to step out unless I know that I know. Well, you know what? Your life is going to be constrained because we don't know everything. Do you? Anybody stand up and say, I know it all. Everything. I know everything. No, we'll have a discussion after the service. See if anybody can stump you. We don't know some things. So if you are only going to go all the time by what you know, by what you can understand, you're going to have a small life. Just even in the natural. People that step out and do some great things, it's not just, well, I know I can do this. A lot of people step out and they say, I don't know if I can do this. I'm going to try. I believe I can. What's that? That's faith. Now, that's faith in themselves, in their ability. But we're talking about faith in God. God is already tried and true. And we've had people that have walked before us that have proven that he can be trusted. And in your life, if you've walked with God, if you'll think about the things he's done for you, he's proven it to you that he can be trusted. And there's a life of walking in trust of him. And that's a high life. And people talk about high life, you know, going out and getting drunk or living on the town. I mean, that's missing the point. That is not. All those things have consequences. You're going to pay for it. You know? But living the life of faith, it doesn't have any negative consequences. But you're going to have to turn off some things that this world is going to tell you, this is how you need to behave. This is how you walk in your life. You're going to have to live different if you're going to walk by faith. It's different than the way the world is programmed. Unless they're walking by the Bible, unless they're walking with the true God. We started out saying, if you're going to come to God, you have to what? You have to believe that he is. What is that? That's faith. So step number one, if you're going to walk the way we're created to walk. So if the creator of the universe, the one that created you and I, created us, got this whole thing going and is upholding it by the word of his power, if you have to come to him by faith, that means that's the way to live your life. In other words, you know, if you have a manual for a piece of equipment, we got some new music equipment over Christmas. I was looking at a manual for one of these things yesterday. I don't know how to use everything in it, but the creator does. You know, and you can get all this stuff online now, but they still give you a manual, a thick manual that you can look at least some get you started. And it's like, you know, I don't know, 10 different languages at least. So you don't have, at least you got some some information to get you going. And they know what they're talking about. Why? Because they made it. It didn't exist before somebody decided at the company, we need one of these. Yeah? So they put some information in there. This is how you interact with our product. Now, God Almighty has set into motion this whole world. And you and I are products of that. We are the creation. We didn't just happen. We didn't just pop out of the dust over time. We were created. We were designed. And part of our design is that we were created to walk by faith. This is not optional. If you're going to operate the way the Creator made us to operate, we are going to have to approach the Creator and believe that He is. That means we have to walk in faith from the get-go. If we're going to operate the way we were created to operate, if we're going to walk the life that He created for us, that He destined us to walk, you know what it's going to involve? It's going to involve faith. It's going to involve walking a life, running a race that involves believing even when you cannot see, when you can't touch, when you can't feel it, when you can't reach out and grab it. You're still going to have to walk. If you're going to walk with the Creator, if you're going to walk according to the manual, which is the Bible, of the Creator, it's going to involve walking by faith a little bit. Not a little bit. It's going to be everything that you do should be by faith. Sometimes it takes faith to forgive your spouse. Anybody ever know that? You don't want to forgive them. Or your brother and sister or whatever. Somebody in your family, anybody. Sometimes you just forgive them by faith because you're supposed to, because God said that's the way, that the manual said, forgive. And so you may disagree. Your flesh wants to say, that's not the thing I want to do to them. I want to do something to them. It's not forgive them. I'd like to do something else. Knock them out. Do something else to them. But God said forgive. I can disagree with God. But He wrote the manual. People come up with all kinds of weird ideas on the way they think it should be run. But you know what? If it's not based on God's word, it's not the way to live life. And we see here, it says, we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, to this life that we're talking about. It says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting Him, He endured the cross, disregarding the shame, or its shame. Now He is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Let's come back to that. And let's skip down. Praise God. Let's go down to 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. And let's just look at it in the New Living Translation there since you're on your sheet. It says, don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. He says, don't you realize in a race that everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? We said last week, we're all in a race. But like we read in Hebrews, it says, run the race that's set before us. There's a race that we're all running, but you know how many people are involved in each race? One. You're running your race. I mean, think about it. How many people started their race at exactly the same time that you did? And ran for the same, or is going to run for the same length that you are. This isn't a thing where everybody just starts and everybody is competing against each other and one person's going to break the tape. That's not the case. You know who you're running against? You. That's it. We all have a race to run, like these people that are in Hebrews 11, and we mentioned this a little bit before. Noah wasn't running against Abraham. Abraham wasn't running against Moses or Paul. Peter and Paul, you know what? They weren't running against each other, even though they were around the same time. These people that ran, they're running individually. Whether you know, you're running with other people. We're running with, we have other people that are running their race, and like in here, we're running our race, but we're not competing against each other. Did you know that? The Bible doesn't tell, the Bible specifically tells you it's not wise to compare. We're not running against each other. This is not a race that we have competition. It's a race that God sets before each person, and He is not judging you on what your neighbor does. Because you know what? He knows what you're dealing with. He knows where you came from. He knows where your starting point was in all areas. People say, well, certain things aren't fair. Well, life's not fair. But if you realize what's important and who the ultimate judge is, you're not running against anybody else. So put society's ideas out of your mind and realize there is an ultimate judge. He is the creator of the universe. And He is fair. He is just and fair. And when He puts your race before you, it encompasses, it takes into consideration, He knows everything about everything. So He's not going to put a race before you that would be unjust for you or something you can't complete. You may look at your neighbor and say, well, why can't I do that? That looks easy. Well, you know what? Ask God. What is it He's asking you to do? Because you say, well, I wasn't born into the same, I didn't have the same abilities as so-and-so. I wasn't born in the same type of family. We didn't have the same type of resources. None of that matters. If we know what we're really doing on this earth as a Christian, you have a race to run. And God is the one that assigns you the course. He sets it up. How are you going to run it? By faith. What if you say, well, it's too hard, or I can't do that? Or, why didn't I get Joe's course, or, you know, Julie's course, or I don't like my course? What are you asking? Who are you asking? Who put it before you? If we're going to walk by faith and run by faith, and we're going to be led by God and His Word, who set the course for you? The Lord did. Now, is He just? Is He fair? Does he take into consideration your starting point? Who you, what you were dealt with in life? Does he know that or not? Come on. Does He know what your abilities and talents are? Do you think He knows that better than you know? Huh? Well, I can't do that. Is He asking you to do it? If He's asking you to do something and you say, I can't, who's right? So we have a race that's set before us. And we have a choice how we're going to run it. You can say, I can't run that. I don't know how to do that. Well, what would that be walking by, faith or sight? But what do we know about God? Does sight walking by sight please Him? Or walking by faith? Let me ask you this. If God asked you to do something and said, this is the way you're supposed to go, and this is your course, and this is the way you need to run your course, you think He knows the best path for you to be on or not? Okay, we all know the answer, I think, here. But do we believe that answer? Huh? Do we actually believe that He does know the right path, and that He, if you'll trust Him, He'll take you through, and that what He's put before you will use your abilities optimally, that there is no better path? Do you believe that? Do you think there's a better path out there that could have been chosen? If God chose your path, the ultimate, now I'm not saying we run it perfectly, but He knows that too. But we still have a choice. So He sets it before you and says, son, daughter, I want you to do this. And He'll tell you what He wants you to do now. He's not going to tell you what you're going to do, you know, down the road. You don't need to know that. And if He does tell you something about that, He only is telling you what you need to know. Sometimes, you know what's coming down the road and you think you know better how to go there, but then you ask Him and He tells you, no, just do this. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to listen to what He's asking us to do now. What He's asking us to do now will always involve you walking by faith, will always involve me walking by faith, and it will be the best thing, the best use of your time now. Do we believe that? Yeah, but Lord, I got to do this, so I got to get this other thing done. Okay, what is He asking you to do? Well, He's asking me to do this, but I don't see how that... I don't know how that's going to connect. Well, is that your problem? Is that what your job is? What do you ask you to do? Figure out your course or run your course? You're going to figure out the course of the race, or are you supposed to run it? He's the one that's going to set it before you. 2017, we said it last week. Now we're 1 week in. Part of our course. We have a race to run, a course to run in 2017. And you know what? Every person sitting in here, every person that hears this message on the recording has a specific race to run. And you're not running against anybody on your left or your right. You have something to run, and you are accountable before God to do that. And you're going to answer to Him. And whether you finish or not, whether you win or not, is entirely dependent on your response to what He set before you. And me. It is not what your neighbor does. You know you cannot lose anything based on what your neighbor does as far as you running your race? Well, they ran it so much better than you. It doesn't mean any difference. How did you run your race? That's all you're going to be judged on. Yeah, but they started so far ahead of me. You know what? The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. That's the judge's responsibility. It's not yours. It's not mine. We'd mess it all up if it was up to us. There are people, that seemingly have talent, but you know what? Leave it up to God to deal with them. Leave it up to God to deal with their race, because God is the one they're going to answer to, and you are not going to answer for running their race, and you're not going to answer for their gifts and talents. We are only going to answer for what we have and what we did with them. You there? You guys with me? So whether we can see it or not, we all have a lane stretching out in front of us right now. And there's just, I wouldn't call it a lap because it's not like we do the same thing every year, but stretching out in front of us right now, there's a portion of our race called 2017. And God knows what every part of that is going to entail, and He's asking us to do something today and this week in the upcoming time. And you know how you find that out? You can only find that out by A, His Word. What His Word say? If His Word says it, don't try to change it. Don't try to say, well, is that for me? If it's in the Word, it's for you. If He told us to do something, don't try to get around it. Don't try to make it do something else. You're just delaying. If He said it, it's right. Don't try to make it anything else. Don't try to work around it. That's part of your course. That's what you're supposed to do on the way on your course. He gave you something to do, but as you're doing that, He told us general instructions to do. He said, this is the way you ought to behave, and this is the way you ought to do certain things, and this is the way you ought to handle this affair. You don't have to try to find out if that applies to you. I'm telling you right now, if the Word says it, it applies to us now. Amen. But then there are specific things that are not written in the Bible for your course. Who you're going to marry, where you're going to live, what job you're going to take, what's your calling. They're not written in this book. The principles for guiding that path are there. The principles for finding that path are there. But the specifics are not there. How are you going to find out? It's you and God, your relationship with God, and being led by His Spirit on the inside. But as He leads you and guides you, as He leads us and guides us, we are going to have to, we're going to have to make decision after decision on whether we're going to walk by faith, because He's going to set something before us. And if we know it's Him and it lines up with the Bible, then we have a choice to make. Are we going to do it? Where are you going to go? Think about it. If God has put a path out in front of us and said, this is the course I want you to go, and this is the next step I want you to do, and you have a choice whether or not you're going to run that next step or do that next step, what are you going to do if you don't do it? Where are you going to go? Think about it. You have this lane out in front of you. Imagine this is my lane here, this aisle. That's my lane. Now, there are other lanes next to me, and there are other people running in those lanes, but this is my lane. And I start walking in the next step, and God's telling me, and I'm not saying you heard an audible voice, I'm saying either by His Word. You know, if you'll listen, if you'll read the Word, that's why it's so important to read the Word consistently, because when you read the Word, it's God speaking to you. Oh, He can quicken things through His Word and just give you direction and help you course correct all the time. But as He's showing you what the next step is, which He'll do for every child of God through the inward witness, bearing witness with what His Word says and bearing witness with your own spirit about His next steps for you. And let me tell you something. God doesn't talk all the time about course corrections. Just when I hear people say, well, God told me this and God told me that and God told me this, God does not jerk you around like this all the time. He doesn't talk like that much. I'm not saying He won't lead you and guide you every day, but He does not jerk your course around like this. If He told you to do something, he's going to tell you to do something until it needs to change. But if you hear somebody or you find yourself thinking, well, God told me this, and then now he's told me this, and then he told me this, and it's not God. I'll just tell you flat out, it's not God. Let me ask you a question. When God told a person the first thing, did he know what was coming the next thing? Why did he have to change like that all of a sudden? Didn't he already know what the next thing was? You don't think he could avoid doing this? You know what? You know who does that? People do that. You know why they do it? I'm about to tell you. So this is my lane. And I believe God told me to do a certain thing. And I start walking. Yeah, it seems good. I'm excited about it too. And I start walking. And then I feel like I'm on the right way, and then something comes up, and I believe God wants me to do this next thing. And I say, glory to God, I see that. It's stretching me a little bit. I'm going to do it. And I go, and I do that, and glory to God, it worked out. And I could have a number of those, but I come up to something, and I believe this is the next step that I need to take. And I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't see it. I don't particularly want to do it. My flesh doesn't want to do it. It's going to require me to change. Let me ask you a question. Where am I going to go? I'm a child of God. I'm filled with the Spirit. I've been on a path, and God, I believe, has led me. And now I believe that same voice that's led me is leading me here, and that's the next step. But I don't want to do it. My flesh doesn't want to do it. My flesh doesn't see. My mind doesn't see how it's going to work. I'm challenged to walk by faith. But let me ask you a question. Where am I going to go if I don't do the next step? This is a one-lane thing. Where am I going? Where am I going to go? If I am a child of God and I'm following Him, and the next thing he's asking me to do is before me, and I say no, where am I going to go? You're looking at it, and same thing as me. There's nowhere to go. Is there? But you know what people do? They say, I won't do that. Well, let me ask you a question. If I don't do that, did it change the fact that that's the next thing God wants me to do? Do you think God is going to change? You know what people do? I'm getting out of this. I'm not doing that. I'm thinking I'll go over here. I'll get in a different lane. Who created this lane? Did God change his mind? Well, why are you doing that? I thought you were going to do this. Well, God is leading me this way. Oh, it's God? That's why people, they end up zigging. Well, God, I thought you were going to do this. No, God's leading me this way. Well, that might sound good to people, but it doesn't fool God. It doesn't change the fact that what you're supposed to do is right there. Did you hear me? You think if it's another 10, 15 years, God will change his mind and you'll get to come back out here and that'll be gone and you'll just go by it? You think that'll happen? You know what'll happen? I'll go over here. You know what? You know where this is going to lead? Who set this? Tell me. Who set this lane up? Huh? Could be any number of things, but who didn't set this one up? Well, I might go this way, and guess what? It's not going anywhere. Well, I might try this lane. Where's this one leading? Huh? Oh, God, I don't know why this isn't working. I'll try this lane. You know, go down this lane. I'm going to go, and this is going to... God, where are you? God, what are you doing? I thought you were my strength and my help. Why don't you help me? Why don't you help me? What's going on? I'm going over here. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going. God, I thought God was supposed to help me. Where is he? What's he doing? Why doesn't, what, look at so-and-so. He looks like everything that is supposed to happen is happening for him. God, what's going on? You tell your friends, well, I thought, I don't know why God isn't showing up. Well, how'd that work out for you? Well, I don't know. I don't know why, what was going on. I did everything I was supposed to do. What does that mean? Who missed it? Well, God, I mean, I don't know. I thought that's the way God was telling me to go, but I guess not. So I'm going to go find another lane. Let me ask you a question. What's going on with the original lane? Did anything change? Where's the path that the Lord would have you to go? Huh? Anybody ever read Jonah? Huh? Did God change his mind?
No.
You reckon God has changed?
No.
2017, surely. You know, he knows we only have so much. He's going to... I tell you, this is a lot of Christians are here. And they're making up all kinds of excuses and say, well, God told me to this, and I don't know why this is happening. It's nonsense. You know what the problem is? The path's out in front of me and I don't want to do it. And you know why? Because it would take faith to do that. And I'd have to put my flesh down and I don't want to do it. I'm not trying to be hard on anybody here because I don't know what situation you're in. I'm just saying we have a race to run. It's a one-lane race and it's going to take faith to run it. And if we think we're going to set our own course, we're wrong. God, so let's go back to what we said. Does God have a good plan for us? Do we actually believe that? Or when we get to something that's hard, are we going to say, I don't want to do that. God, let's come up with a different plan. Well, do you believe that the first plan was right? And do you believe that he's really a just God, a righteous God, and he has your best interest or not? Because at this, I'm talking to all of us, right? If I don't want to run past this and I'm saying, God, I want to serve you. God, I want to do what you would have me to do. I just don't want to do that. Would you move that, please? You know what the answer is going to be? God did not, if God set that before you to begin with, he's not going to change it. He's very patient. Did you know that? You think he's more patient? Let me ask you this way. I remember one of my instructors, Dean Gary Crowell, that came out a couple years. Actually, they're coming in a little bit. They're going to come here later this year. But he said there was one thing that he tried to do, and he didn't ask God about it. He just said, well, that's a good idea, and he started doing it. And he was getting ready to do it, and the Lord spoke up to him on the inside and said, you didn't ask me about that. And he said, yeah, I didn't. But he said, God's very patient. He'll let a person go to the end of their course and die and not change. In other words, he's not going to change what he asked you to do. If you want to wait, guess who's going to outwait the other person? You're going to see God again. You walk in heaven and say, well, here I am. Yeah, here you are. He's not going to change the course. We have one race. You realize everybody in here has one thing, next step. I'm saying you do. You have a lot of facets to your life, but you actually have one general push, and all those things sum up to one general path you're supposed to take. They're not five. They're not eight. They're not ten. You realize that you actually don't have a choice on what you're going to do. You just have a choice on whether you're going to do it or not. Do we realize that? What does Jesus is my Lord mean? Wait, we're into it today, aren't we? Here we are. What does Jesus is my Lord mean? A lot of people throw that around pretty easy, but what does that mean? Who would that mean dictates what you do? Do we understand what the word Lord means? Jesus is my friend. Well, he might be that. That's not the same as Lord, though. Because your friend doesn't necessarily tell you what to do. Now, is he a dictator? Well, he's not mean. But he told you. He's not going to control you. That's the thing. And people get it confused with, then I can do what I want. Well, you can do what you want. That's not the same as following him. In other words, I have a choice whether I want to follow that path or not. But I don't get to choose the path. To a degree. I mean, God gives you freedom of choice within the path. In other words, I can probably walk over here, or I can walk over here. But if I start walking over here, I'm off. Does that make sense? He's going to give you some latitude. It's not like, don't get legalistic and like, I can't move without it being God. People get wacky and they get in the ditch over here. But you can't decide you're going to go over and run over here if you're supposed to be over here. You can't do it. It's not going to work. Did you hear me? It won't work. And there are a whole lot of people that are thinking they can do whatever they want to do and God will bless it. And that's just not scripture. It's not right and it won't work. God is merciful and gracious, but he's also the king. He's also the Lord. And he is not saying that we can do whatever we want to do and you're going to get the same results as if you will just walk and run your race. He has a race. And we don't get to pick what that is. What we do is say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. What do you want me to do? Is that not what Jesus himself prayed? Yes. Did Paul do what he wanted to do, or he do what the Lord wanted him to do? What did he say here? 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. I'm reading the New King James. We'll read that anyway. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. You can think, is that even possible? That for Paul to do that? Evidently, yes. Could Paul, after influencing the church the way he did, after writing these letters, after starting these churches, could he have decided, I'm done, I'm going over here? Could he? Absolutely. And he said, lest I preach to other people and then I myself run into the wall. Is it possible? Yeah, it's possible. Let me ask you a question. Did Paul do what he wants to do? What he wanted to do? Or did he do what Jesus wanted him to do? Huh? Look at it, New Living Translation. Don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will not fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. Or that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. Notice that. With purpose. I run with purpose. That means the things I do are meaning something. How are they meaning? They're doing what my Lord told me to do. In His Word, and by His Spirit, that's purpose. I'm doing what He told me to do. This gives our lives purpose. People go, I don't have any purpose. Well, follow Jesus. You'll have purpose. You can be born again and not follow Jesus. Did you know that? But following Him, being on the path, said, I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Let me ask you a question. You can ask any number of professional sports individuals. Do you think they do everything they want to do? Eat everything they want to eat? That's exactly what he's saying here. We make ourselves do what we're supposed to do. Who dictates what we're supposed to do? We do it with the Lord leading and guiding us. It's Him and us, because you know what? There's nobody else in the lane. We're running with Him. Look at verse 26 in the New King James Version, back where we were. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Not with uncertainty. In other words, we're not supposed to be bumbling around going, well, I just don't know what I'm supposed to do. I just don't know. I mean, I just don't know which lane it is. It's not supposed to be this way. God Himself has given us His Word. He's given us His Spirit. And every child of God ought to know where they're going. That doesn't mean you understand everything about the path you're on. No. But you're saying, this is, to the best of my belief, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And you're going to do it by what? By faith? And you're going to be going forward? You're not supposed to go, I just don't know. God won't talk to me. That's not true. Let's just say right now, it's not true. If we say God won't, I don't know why, He just tells other people what their course is. He just won't tell me. It's not true. He's communicating. We may not be listening, or we may not be in a position to know what to do. You know how you get into a position to know what to do? You say, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. You know what a lot of people, they'll say, I want to do what I want to do now. Now, which thing do you want me to do? As long as we're there, God will not communicate. But when we say, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. You are my Lord. Not my will, but your will be done. Lord, show me. You know what you just did? God gives grace to the humble. He will lead you and guide you and tell you what to do on the next step. You're willing to do whatever. And if we keep that attitude, if we come up against something, is that you, God? You want me to do that? Well, you check it out. You make sure it lines up with the Word of God. You make sure it lines up with the Spirit of God. You want me to do that? Okay. Not my will, but your will be done. Here I go. Because why? There's no other place on the path of life, on the path of following Jesus as our Lord and Savior, to go. That's what you want me to do? I trust you. I'm going to do it by what? Faith. And I'm going to take the step. And the Bible says that's how we run our race, keeping our eye on Him. Praise God. Keeping our eye on Jesus, one step at a time.